Father, thank you for today. Thank you for opportunity to consider a few things from your word once again. And Lord, I do pray that you continue to build holiness, righteousness within us. Lord, help us to walk with you, pursue that which you have called us to, and give us wisdom for this pursuit. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Well, I am going to have quite a few scripture passages today, so I might just kind of like sweep across the room with scripture passages. So if you want to have the mic ready for that as we get into it, we'll be hitting the passages pretty quick order here. Talking about the pursuit of holiness, and just remind us a couple of things of the words that were used to talk about this concept of pursuit. There is that word pursuit itself, which means to zealously chase after something. This word can be translated, depending on the context, as persecute, as Paul used it. It's talked of Paul's persecution of the church before he came to faith in Christ. He was zealously chasing after individuals to lock them up, to have them executed, etc. Or it could be used in a more positive connotation of just the concept of pursuing something, chasing after. Paul says in the exact same chapter, he uses this word both ways, one to speak of his persecution of the church, and the other to speak of his zealous pursuit of the upward call of the prize in Christ Jesus. And so, forgetting the things that lie behind, I press on towards the things that are ahead. I pursue those things. We talked about the language of training, the idea of training ourselves, so the concept of self-discipline, self-control, those kinds of concepts. We talked about the concept of diligence, that it takes work, like we have to apply ourselves, make every effort, as some translations render the word for diligence, giving great speed to something, pursuing it with zealous, relentless pursuit, all right, where it begins to go just from a zealous pursuit to a relentless pursuit. That requires training, self-discipline, self-control. Gymnazo is the word at play there. And so as we start talking about those things, we develop this definition of spiritual disciplines. A spiritual discipline is an intentional habit cultivated in our lives designed to lead us into greater Christ-likeness in our thoughts, in our affections, and our behavior. Last week, we started talking about the idea that the disciplines themselves that we can put into practice, they are not the goal, but they are a means to a goal, and that is greater Christ-likeness. We want to be conformed to the image of the Son. We want to see ourselves be molded into His image, to live according to the calling that we have as saints, as holy ones before the Lord, and hence this is the pursuit of holiness, that set-apart living. So we have been talking about disciplines, things that we do so that we might become conformed to the image of Christ. Last week, we started talking about Bible intake. We talked about the value of establishing a daily habit of Bible reading, scripture reading plans, having a plan, having intentionality, and keeping in mind the proper perspective, the proper goal. The goal is not just so we can check off boxes. The boxes are a tool that help us make progress, but it's the habit and the intent of the habit is to produce greater Christ-likeness within us. Today, we're going to take things a step further and start talking about Scripture memorization. Scripture memorization. Did you know? Okay, well, let's say last week we asked the question, does the Bible command us to read the Bible, to have a daily Bible reading plan? Does the Bible command us to do that? Yes or no? No. The Bible doesn't tell us that. You must, thou shalt read the Bible every day. That command is not in Scripture. But what is interesting is that the Bible has a whole lot more to say about Scripture memorization than it does just about simple Scripture reading. So let's look at some of these texts, and this is where we are, just kind of sweep across the room. I'm going to start in the back and then move forward. Phil, could you look up Psalm 119, verse 11? Robin, Psalm 37, 31. Come up here to Jim, Psalm 1, verse 2. Jessica, Psalm 40, verse 8. Yakar's getting her Bible. I'll come back to her. Lindsay, Deuteronomy 11, verse 18. J, Proverbs 3, 1. You ready, Yakar? Deuteronomy 6, 6 and 7. And then I'll cap us off with a few more verses. Oh, Lily, do you want to read one? You got, you shall read Proverbs 6, 20 through 22. If I can remind anybody who needs reminders. But starting with Phil, Lily's got the microphone right behind you. If you would read Psalm 119, verse 11. Is that mic on? Your word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin, or treasure it in my heart that I might not sin against you. This is the classic scripture memory verse. So treasured, it's hidden, it's kept within my heart, it's kept precious there. What's the purpose of the memorization in that text? That I might not sin against you. The guarding, keeping scripture in our hearts helps guard us against sin. Psalm 37:31.
The law of his God is in his heart. His steps do not slip.
Okay, so there's a description of an individual, and this individual has the law of God in his heart. He has memorized it. He's kept it there, and it keeps his foot from slipping, connotation being slipping into sin. Psalm chapter 2, verse 1.
Two verse one or one verse two?
One verse two. What did I say?
You said two.
One verse two. My bad.
I mean, 2:1 is good too.
Yeah, it is.
Psalm 1 verse 2. But his delight is in the law of Yahweh, and in his law he meditates day and night.
The psalm talks about the one who is blessed, the one who is happy, the one who has blessing in life. It is the one who delights in the law of the Lord, the law of Yahweh, and he meditates on that law day and night. We'll talk about the concept of meditation a little bit later on, but it's available for him to recall to his mind so that he can think about it intentionally day, night, all the time. Psalm 40, verse 8.
Psalm 40, verse 8. I want to do what pleases you, my God. Your law dominates my thoughts.
That's an interesting translation. Your law dominates my thoughts. I like that. N-E-T? Nice. The LSB says, your law is within my inner being. But yeah, that concept, yeah, it dominates my thoughts. That is much stronger communicating that it's there all the time in her mind to recall. Deuteronomy 6, 6 and 7.
These words that I am giving you today are to be in your heart. Repeat them to your children. Talk about them when you sit in your house and when you walk along the road, when you lie down, and when you get up.
All right. So these words, this is the law of God as Moses is giving it to the people. He says you're to have this, it shall be on your heart. You shall have this memorized. You shall have it a part of you, and you're going to teach it to your children, and it's just going to be part of your daily life. Think about scripture passages you've memorized, interacting with and talking with them with your children, when you're sitting in your house, when you're walking on the way, rising up, going to bed, the entire day you have them available to you to engage with. Deuteronomy 11, 18.
You shall therefore lay up these words of mine in your heart and in your soul, and you shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes.
So just the centeredness of the Word of God there is very similar to Deuteronomy chapter 6. They shall be in your heart. They should be on your soul. Bind them on your hand. Like they're to be available to you all the time. Frontlets, some translations say phylacteries. That's a interesting concept we could talk about some other time. But the idea is that the Word of God is just always right there, front and center, available to you to engage with. Proverbs 3, verse 1.
My son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments.
All right, and that's going to pair with Proverbs 6, 20 through 22. Sorry, actually, I'll give you a little more time. Yep.
My son, keep your father's command and don't reject your mother's teaching. Always bind them to your heart. Tie them around your neck. When you walk here and there, they will guide you. When you lie down, they will watch over you. When you wake up, they will talk to you.
Now, this one's really interesting because there's a little of an expansion. We talk about, okay, your law in my head, my heart, the amount of sin against you. It helps us. It guards our foot from slipping. Or to be talking about it, or to be engaging with the Word of God just on a daily basis with our children, with our people that we're working with around us, and all those sorts of things. Well, here, when you have the law of God, when you have it on your heart, this is Solomon teaching his son wisdom and trying to help him understand things. He says, look, if you have these commands, you have this instruction, if you take it to heart genuinely, it's your companion. When you walk about, they will lead you. They will guide you. The Word of God will guide and direct you. When you sleep, they'll keep watch over you. When you awake, they will speak with you. Like, there's like this companion aspect when we have the Word of God hidden in our hearts, we have it memorized, available for recall. It has this incredible effect that it just guides all of our life, and it's available to meditate on. It's available to teach, to guide. When things come to mind, scripture passages can come to mind that speak to a moment of whatever it is that we're living in the moment. So it's an incredible thing that the Word of God can be our companion if we have it hidden in our hearts. A couple more texts I'm going to run through. This is Proverbs chapter 7, verses 1 through 3. My son, keep my words and treasure my commandments within you. Keep my commandments and live, and my law is the apple of your eye. Bind them on your fingers, write them on the tablet of your heart. Joshua 1:8, the book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do all that is written in it. For then you will make your way successful and you'll be prosperous. Colossians 3:16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing with gratefulness in your hearts to God. Now that's a pretty interesting one, because there we have the word of God dwelling in us richly, and part of the way that that works itself out is through song. When we sing good songs that are based on scripture texts, we have the word of God just naturally rolling through our hearts and our minds. John 15:7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. The concept of abiding, that the concept of abiding in the word abiding in us, we will talk about that a little bit later on, not this week, but in future weeks. But there's that concept, the Word of God abiding within us. So we have this, and these aren't even all the scripture texts that talk about the value of having the Word of God available to us when we don't have a physical Bible open in front of us. The value of the Word, of having it memorized, is presented to us. It keeps us from sin and foolishness. It guards our steps. It is our companion. It helps us. And all the things that we talked about last week from Psalm 19 about what the Word of God can do and what the Word of God accomplishes within us, it makes us wise. It restores the soul. It enlightens our eyes. It helps us gain understanding of the world and our situations that we're living in. All of those things come to bear when we have the Word of God. When we're exposed to the Word of God, and scripture memorization is just another way to have that Word of God available to us to be impacting our hearts and lives and growing in greater Christ-likeness in our thoughts and our affections and our behavior, this really does come into the battle of the mind. You know, we think of New Testament concepts of taking every thought captive, all those sorts of things. When we have scripture available to us, that goes a long, long way to helping us and keeping us from sin, as Psalm 119 speaks of. I want to address a couple of obstacles that often come up when talking about scripture memorization. I'm tempted to ask this question. If it's too embarrassing, you don't have to raise your hand, but how many of you might think, I have a less than average ability to memorize things? A few of you feel that way. Yeah, okay. Yeah. Just, you feel like there's a less than average ability to memorize things. And I'm going to just grant that at the outset that that may be true. Different people have different capacities to memorize things and to work on things. But the question that I have, the challenge that I would have, is does that mean it is not worth the work? And I would submit to you. No, it does not mean that it's not worth the work. It may mean that it's more challenging. It may mean that it's more difficult, but it doesn't mean it's not worth it. The truth is, this is worth the effort. And the amazing thing is that our minds are so incredible that we can train it to memorize things in ways that we never thought possible before. How many, what's that?
But it's a song, it sticks.
Well, I was about to go to songs. How many songs do you think you know by heart?
Too many.
All of them.
Too many,
all of them. It's, yeah, I bet, yeah. Yes. Boom. It's there, right? So there's whole game shows around this concept, right? Like finish the lyrics type things. Amazing grace, how Jesus loves me. Oh, say, can you see? Somebody once told me the we don't talk about
Bruno.
All right, so we have all these songs, all kinds of crazy stuff. Bet you never thought you'd be singing that in church, huh? Amen. He says that's right. It is estimated that the average person knows somewhere between 500 and 2,000 songs by heart. And it may be even more than that. Who knows? Like it's really difficult to figure out and estimate that accurately. But if you were trying to sit down and list out all the songs you know by heart, you couldn't even do it. Like it wouldn't come to mind. It wouldn't pop up. But this is the incredible way the mind works. If you were to try to sit down, oh, what are all the scripture passages I've memorized? Well, you may not be able to list them out. But then some situation occurs and something happens and it triggers something and a scripture passage comes to mind. Passages that maybe you didn't even know you had memorized. John 3:16. For all have sinned and fall short. No, oh my goodness. For God so loved the world. My brain rewired it. Had just complete misfire of synapse. Man. Well, there goes that illustration, huh? No, but in reality, but you were able to finish that one too, right? Okay, so that was Romans 3:23.
Yeah, when my brothers and I were kids, on Sunday mornings, if someone was having a birthday, you could give them a scripture.
Yes.
For their birthday, and my brother, who is five or under, that was his gift to my mom for all his sins.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Excellent. There's probably more scripture verses that you even realize that you have memorized inadvertently just through repeated exposure over time, being a part of the church, hearing them over and over again. Did I see your hand up, Phil? The reference. Yeah. And that's we'll talk about that some as well. I have a little exercise for us to do here this morning that's kind of fun. Part of my point with this, just setting it up, though, is this is where the language of training ourselves really does come into play in the sharp focus. You think of individuals that have never lifted weights before, and they're going in to lift weights. It's going to be really, really difficult at the beginning, right? They're starting with really light weights. They should, because they're not going to be able to lift the big weights, right? It takes time to train and to build that muscle. It takes time to train our minds in order to memorize things in a particular way. A lot of really interesting work has been done on the science of memorization and how our brains work and how we latch hold of things that can help the memorization process to where it's not just straight rote memory over and over and over again, and that's all you've got. Before I get to the exercise, look at my notes here. We're going to stretch our minds. Yeah. Sometimes people object that scripture memory takes too much time, and I want to acknowledge that it does take time. Like, this is something you have to be willing to work on, to put effort into. It is not quick and easy. It's not like, oh, here's three simple tricks to memorize the whole Bible in 30 seconds or less. Like, nope, it doesn't work that way. It takes time. Put it to music is an excellent way to do that, for sure. But I will tell you that there are times throughout the day that you can use for scripture memory that you can combine with other habits, other tasks that you do that will actually aid the memorization process, because it's just, hey, this is just what I do every time I do this thing, whether it's brushing your teeth or for you ladies doing makeup. Or for a while, I would print out sheets of scripture texts and I would laminate them, and I had it in the shower, and while I would take a shower, I'd be memorizing scripture. So there's things you can combine tasks that are otherwise pretty mindless, that you're just doing the tasks, and it's not taking any additional time, it's just adding that component to whatever task that you're doing. Yeah, and that's a way to help your brain a lot of times, especially for kinetic learners. It does. Sometimes people say, well, I've tried to memorize verses, but it just doesn't work. And I like what one person said about this. Scripture memorization doesn't work. We work. We put in the efforts, and we try to work on putting it. It is hard work. It is a discipline. It is a discipline, but it works. Years ago, before we had the internet, computers, and all of these wonderful advancements of technology, before there were even access to common things like books, how did people have access to information? You had to memorize it. It was just part of society. It was part of life. So they had an oral society. This is how people learn, just from orally communicating information and putting it in ways that's easy to remember. Before we had access to, you know, Siri or Google right on our fingertips, and we can just do voice searches and all that kind of thing, we didn't have that. So as a society, that's how it used to be. Well, now, in our information age, when everything is so widely accessible, the need for memorization, just on a practical level, has decreased. I think we're seeing negative effects of that in society as a whole. But that doesn't mean that the ability to regain that is completely lost on an individual level for us to work at that and to cultivate that within ourselves. It may be more difficult because our society, and now it's somewhat countercultural and counter to the way our society operates to put work into memorization, but it doesn't mean that it's gone. We have the ability. We have that within us. So again, just like exercising muscles, the more you work at it, the easier it becomes. So now here's the exercise. See how far we get with this with the time that we have remaining. This exercise comes from an article that, or a series of articles actually, that is specifically encouraging people towards memorization, scripture memorization in particular. And this is what, this is a time-tested and in the study of, I don't know what the study of memorization science might be called, but this is like the way that's taught by people who try to encourage this sort of thing. So there's whole books written on this technique. We're gonna do the exercise and see how it works. Mnemonics, yeah, there you go. In order to quickly and easily remember any piece of information, you need to associate with something you already know or remember, and you need to associate it in some ridiculous way. And the ridiculousness of it is the key. That's the emphasis. Those last four words, in some ridiculous way, are essential to effective memorization, and they are also the reason why many people who have been taught memory techniques do not apply them. The techniques seem silly, because they are silly. It is silly. For some reason unknown to us, I'm reading from the article right now, by the way, God designed our brains to remember things that are absurd and unusual. This fact didn't bother giants of the faith like Augustine or Thomas Aquinas, so it shouldn't bother you either. Use it as they did to honor the creator of our imaginations. So if you look in church history, you look at some theological giants of the past, they wrote about this technique, and they practiced this, and they used it to great success. So we're going to do this exercise. Here's a list of 20 terms, and we're going to memorize this list. Right here. Here are the 20 terms in sequence. Otter, Thor, Zeus, American, idol, weather vane, ice cream sundae, parents, sleigh, adult, tree, steel, bear, false, eyelashes, watches, wife, ox, butler, and donkey. Who thinks they can reproduce that list right now? No. Not a chance. Not a chance. All right.
The first word was false, right?
No. False. Yeah, it was false. Yeah, the first word was not false, which means okay. Okay, so now let's find some associations and work on this exercise here. Some of these things you may be able to think through in your mind, okay, there's some associations here, but then keeping them in order, that's where the challenge is. You could use brute force and just repetition and just bam, 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 and hit them in order. That would take quite a bit of time, but you could do that. Let's utilize the technique of associating them in some ridiculous way. All right, so close your eyes, and we're going to use our imaginations. Yes, she says, all right, he's excited. I love that. Let's start with the first five items. Otter, Thor, Zeus, American, and Idol. We're going to combine them in a ridiculous but memorable mental picture. Most people, I think you're probably familiar with the competition, American Idol, so we're going to use these words, we're going to combine them together to paint a vivid image in our minds. So, close your eyes. Think of the scene. American Idol, you got the judges. Instead of the usual panel of judges on the show, we're going to have some guest judges. There's an otter, and then there's Thor and Zeus. Yeah, to make it a little easier to remember these, we're going to give them some action. The otter loves the singers. He's enthusiastically clapping. So picture an otter enthusiastically clapping in your mind. Next to him, Thor. He too appreciates the music. He's banging his hammer, Mjolnir on the desk in approval. Zeus, however, is displeased. So he's throwing a lightning bolt at the contestants. To remember them in order, be sure to see each one in turn in your mind, one at a time, moving through, creating that vivid picture before moving on to the next thing. Now follow Zeus's lightning bolt as it misses the singers and it hits the words American Idol on the logo that's up on the stage behind them. The shocked duet that was singing are dressed as a weather vane and an ice cream sundae. It's absurd, but that's part of the point. The ridiculousness of it will help. As you look closer, you notice that the people behind the costumes, these are your own parents. Or maybe somebody else's parents, if that makes it easier to picture. Frightened by the Greek god's action, the parents look for an escape. To their surprise and ours, Santa Claus comes in to the rescue, beckoning them to jump into his sleigh. As Santa rides off into the sky, the sleigh crashes into a very tall adult tree. The children trees on either side of this adult tree are unhurt. Santa and your parents fall out of the sleigh, but before they crash to the ground, they grab onto a steel beam that is sticking out of the side of the building. Parents are barely hanging on by the tips of their fingers, but fortunately for them, underneath is a huge bear, ready to catch them if they fall. Now, this bear is rather peculiar looking. He is wearing large false eyelashes and two diamond-encrusted Rolex watches, one on each arm. Coming toward the hero are his bear wife, riding an ox, and a very human butler, dressed as a proper English servant, riding a donkey. Now, think back through that story in your mind a little bit. Remember each of the items, starting with the otter, and picturing the sequence of events. Otter, Thor, Zeus, the weather vane, ice cream sundae, or I skipped American Idol. That's right, see, it's already working. You're already getting it in sequence. Parents, what's next? Sleigh. Yep. the tree, the adult tree, crashing into the adult tree. They fall out of the sleigh and grab onto a steel beam. What has the false eyelashes? The bear. Wearing watches. And up comes his, riding a, accompanied by a, who is riding a donkey. It's pretty amazing you could reproduce that just one time walking through a very vivid, insane, ridiculous story, but there it is. And if you missed up on a couple of things, you spend a little bit of time with it, working through again, and you'll have it very quickly. The purpose of this, again, it's random. It's seemingly random terms, painting this vivid picture, absurd visual images, helps you quickly and easily remember new information, as well as the sequence, not just the details of the list, but the sequence in order, and strung together, these clues could actually be used to help you remember the Ten Commandments in order. You shall have no other gods before me. No otter gods, Zeus, Thor. You shall not make for yourself the carved image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, the earth beneath, or water under the earth. No idols, American idol, or otherwise. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. The Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain, the weather vane. A weather vane? It's a... direction the wind is pointing, yeah. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Now, this the person who wrote this is coming from a perspective that they believe the Sunday is the Christian Sabbath, so that's where he gets ice cream Sunday, the Sabbath. Honor your father and your mother, there's your parents. You shall not murder. Another way to say that is to slay someone. You have Santa and his sleigh. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. There is the steel beam. You shall not bear false witness. There's the bear with the false lashes. And he's watching individuals. So in order to be a witness, he has to see things. So there's the watches. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, his male servant, female servant, his ox or his donkey, or anything that is your neighbor's. And so now we have wife. Butler, ox, donkey, we have those terms coming into play. Now there's a vivid association. You can take a list, you can make visual images, and then you can tie it together and you can create stuff like this. I have to tell you, I once tested this technique with something like a deck of cards. Shuffle a deck of cards, you got a random order, and you start going through it. I tested this technique. I got pretty far into that deck of cards being able to memorize the exact position of every card going through that deck in order. There's money to be made doing that for people. But now, I didn't get through all the way through the deck. With more work, I think I could have, but I would have had to work on it. 52 cards, that's a lot of cards. And there's only four suits and then the repeating numbers. So it gets a little bit more challenging with something like that. But it just shows you the power of this technique when you begin to associate it with certain things in your mind as you go through it. This is a time-tested technique of associations with vivid, absurd pictures that can help you memorize information. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. So I had someone tell me a while ago that, so he's got dyslexia that applies both to letters and numbers. And so it's a challenge for him. Those mnemonic devices that you described, that exact one of the snowman, helped him do better at math because it wasn't just numbers that he's mixing up, but it's the pictures of what the numbers are. So it's a neat way to memorize things. Yeah.
With the storytelling and visualizing something ridiculous, like prepositions being ants that go around.
Yeah. I'm just a bill sitting on Capitol Hill, right? That's the Schoolhouse Rock, all that stuff. That's, yeah.
My brother was trying to, when I was teaching, I was trying to use Schoolhouse Rock to kind of supplement some of my students' deficits.
Mm. Yeah.
But my brother was like, oh, it doesn't really work, blah, blah, blah. That's not going to help. And I was like, really?
Yeah.
Now it is. And he goes, person, place, or thing. And I was like, thank you.
Point proven, right? Exactly. Yeah. So songs can come into play. You can set things to music. You can do things that way. Your mind has an ability to latch onto a tune in ways that just regular words doesn't latch onto. This is a summary of the method. You create absurd images in your mind as you memorize. So by doing that, you substitute one item instead of another. So like the adult tree, picturing a really large tree, well, that adult tree, okay? So you can associate that together. You make images out of proportion. So, okay, if you just think of something just in absurd proportions, maybe you would think of, it's not just a regular otter, but it's just like an otter with an absurdly large nose or just something like that to paint a really vivid image. You exaggerate the image. You make it just, it's not just...
it's the biggest American Idol stage you've ever seen.
Yes, yeah, it's just an insane, absurd thing. And you make the image alive. You want to use action images, not static images where there's things that are occurring because that keeps the picture moving. And then you leak the images together in sequence, so that's where moving along like a storyline helps. Some people utilize what's called the memory palace with nooks and crannies. So if you think about, you're trying to memorize something, and you think, okay, I'm going to start on my front porch, and I'm going to think about the different nooks and crannies of my front porch. Maybe you've got a bush over here, maybe you've got a flag, maybe you've got a garden gnome, or whatever else. And you can, whatever you're trying to memorize, you can associate with these different nooks and crannies of your front porch, and then you can move into whatever the front room of your home is. For me, stepping in, that's the stairwell, and I can think of, okay, there's upstairs and there's downstairs right there. I can go upstairs, and you just associate stuff as you move through the house, as you progress through, and that helps you. This is a technique that goes back literally thousands of years to individuals who utilize this methodology for associating each room with another bit of information that they're trying to remember. For some reason, the brain works this way. It sits the things in the compartment, and as you're picturing moving through the house, the things that you've associated with these different locations that you're so familiar with, whatever you've associated with that begins to come to mind as you move through. It's really neat. Already 10:16. I started late. This is my fault. There is another method, and this is really more of the rote memory kind of concept, and this is more helpful. So the previous method I just showed you is helpful for memorizing like lists of information. You can make scripture texts become lists. There are lists in scripture that are good to memorize. So we think of like 2 Peter chapter 1, the things that you're supposed to add, make every effort to add to your faith, godliness to godliness, kindness to godliness, it goes through the list. Think of the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, faithfulness, goodness, kindness, self-control, like all those. There are lists of scripture. You could utilize this method for that, for the absurd images for the lists. This one would be more for memorizing, if you want to memorize extended chunks, and this is something I would encourage to do. This would take more effort, and this would take more time. This would take more dedication, but it is another time-tested method that does work. Pick a shorter book, pick a shorter section, maybe you just want to work on one chapter, and you break it down, and the key is repetition over time. The scripture text that you have memorized right now, when I started it, you could finish it. That's because you have been exposed to those through repetition over time. Well, now this is an intentional exposing yourselves, intentional repetition to build that within us. You going to say something?
I was going to say, I had a small stack of cards a couple of years ago, last year or something like that, that were like things to try to basically combat the negative self thoughts and images that I had in my mind. And I, every day, especially before I went to bed, I made sure to take time friends.
Yes.
And like to just rotate through those cards. And eventually, I think I got up to having like maybe 15 cards, but I would just like add in.
Yeah. Yeah.
And when I was at a Bible study, they asked us to like list out any or like write down any verse that we had memorized, and one of those verses popped into my mind, and I was like, "Oh, yeah, I did that."
Constant exposure. It just, even if you're not even trying to memorize it, if you're just trying to read it regularly, it will eventually stick, right? It will get in there. So that the repetition over time. This is how, you know. I'm thinking, you know, seminary, people trying to learn Greek. They're trying to learn Greek vocabulary. There's flashcards. The flashcards work for a reason. It is drilled repetition over time. Same thing with Hebrew vocabulary. Same thing with anything you're trying to memorize. Flashcards have been utilized for every subject under the sun for centuries, millennia.
But not recently.
Yeah, for some reason, we feel that need to. Interesting. Now, it's, there's documentation of it going back for centuries.
Yeah. Saying that my students couldn't spell the word was in fifth grade. And that they didn't know their math facts.
Okay.
And she's like, well, they have computers in their pockets at all times, and then just memorizing vocabulary lists doesn't work. And I'm like, my fifth graders are not spelling the word is correctly.
Yeah.
Yep,
our teaching techniques have not, yeah. Well, let me just finish this off here. It's good to use all of your senses, so you want to physically read what you're trying to, and trying to create a mental image in your mind with your eyes, like take a photograph with your eyes of the words, the sentences on the page. Read it out loud can be helpful. Reading it, memorizing it with the reference, so even if you're trying to go through an extended section, you know, Romans 8:1, Romans 8:2, just like memorizing it, or 8:1, 8:2, like memorizing the references with each verse as you go through is helpful, connecting it to each individual verse. So you want to read it out loud so you can hear it. It can be helpful to write it out, which engages your body, gets the kinetic learning engaged with it as well. And then it is drilled repetition over and over and over again when you're working on one verse, and you go through it, you read it 10 times, you cover it up, you say it 10 times, the next day you review it 10 times, and then you add the next one, repeating it 10 times, and then you add the next one, and you just keep building and building and building, and it does eventually work. I do have more resources available if you want help working on this. It does take time, it does take work, but it is worth it. It is modeled for us in Scripture, it is encouraged for us in Scripture, it is a good thing to do. And over time, you will have a memory bank of Scripture text that you may not even realize, oh yeah, I still have this memorized, but something triggers it and it comes to mind. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of God is, you kind of get rolling with it, and sometimes it sticks, sometimes it gets mixed up, but it's there and something triggers it and it comes to mind. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How can we who died to sin live any longer in it? Do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Being therefore buried with him in baptism into death, how much more so shall we be raised with him in the likeness of his resurrection? Like there's, I think I did miss a verse in there, but there's scripture that just, it's there and it becomes available to you if you put in the time. I memorized that verse that I just quoted from Romans chapter 6. I memorized that back in, I think, freshman year of Bible college. That's over 10 years ago. That's a long time, and yet it's still there. And I've not actively reviewed it hardly since then. So it's a good thing. Yeah. So the question is about translations. I think the answer is yes. A lot of people actually really like memorizing from the King James because it is so distinctive. So you think about the principle of absurd things.
It's so foreign.
It's so foreign, yeah. And it flows and it's poetic. That makes it more memorable. I personally don't like memorizing in the King James just because the language, you almost begin to lose the benefit. The purpose of having it memorized is so that it's usable. Well, if you're having struggle understanding what it means, or if you have a misunderstanding about the way language shifts, that could be a detriment to a proper application of the text itself. The New King James does a really good job, I think. I have a ton of scripture memorized in the New King James. I have memorized things from the ESV. Typically, the smoother translations, I think, the more readable, the more common language translations like the CSB, the NLT, those are probably, I don't have science to back this up, but my guess would be those would be more challenging to memorize. But I think it varies a little bit from person to person. So it may just be as simple as, hey, pick one that you like and just roll with it. Whatever floats your boat. Yeah. The scripture translation you memorize is better than the one you don't. Pick one, roll with it. So that's my encouragement. A spiritual discipline is an intentional habit cultivated in our lives designed to lead us into greater Christ-likeness in our thoughts, our affections, and behavior. Scripture memorization is one way to bring this to bear within our lives. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, that you have given us this encouragement to hide it within our hearts. I pray that we would pursue that, train in that, zealously, be persistent in it, that we may be conformed to the image of Christ. Pray this in Christ's name. Amen.